Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see all of you here this morning, and we welcome you to our worship service. And if you do have any guests with us this morning, we say welcome to you, and we're glad to have you here with us to worship this morning. Let me start by just drawing your attention up front to the beautiful flowers this morning. These are placed in memory of Misty Dukes by Richie and Tanya Bird. And I believe Tanya said today would actually be Misty's birthday, so I just wanted to point those out to you. Those beautiful flowers presented by Richie and Tanya Bird. I have just a couple of announcements. One major announcement, I say major, is it was just presented on the slideshow, but just a reminder, tonight's services aren't necessarily dismissed. They're just being moved, and that is to Newman Branch, and we're asking that anybody that can, Newman Swamp, that's right, Newman Swamp. And anybody that can and is would like to go, we're going to meet up about 4:15, around that time to kind of get together and head over there to support our youth tonight at District League. Excuse me. So anybody that can go and would like to go, just join us around that time, 4:15, so we can get ready and make that trip and support our youth. Also, I have just one other thing before I let Dr. Blank, he has something he'd like to share. I wanted to mention a special birthday today to someone in the congregation that I was told today was their birthday, and I don't like embarrassing people, so I don't know if I should mention Breanne's name or not, but today is Breanne Hickman's birthday, so if you see her, make sure you wish her a special happy birthday. Dr. Blank, you had something you'd like to share.
We failed to put it in the bulletin this morning, but on the 18th of January, please remember, 18th of January, the Sunday before our missions conference weekend, we will have our annual acorn breaking service. So children and parents of the children and parents themselves, adults as well, be sure to be filling those acorns for the breaking. This Wednesday night, we'll have our committee on missions meeting, and at that time, we'll determine the place to where our acorn breaking receipts will go, and announce it next Sunday, but be prepared. And if you need an acorn yet to be filled, or you need one, please let our folks know in the Sunday school office next Sunday morning. Again, look forward to the conference, be a part of it, and the acorn breaking this Sunday before. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Dr. Blank. Were there any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Ron? Okay. A missions meeting for anybody going to Honduras Wednesday night? 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we're going to have a meal next Sunday.
Okay.
At lunchtime.
A meal lunchtime next Sunday. Okay, barbecue chicken. All right, thank you, Ron. Any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Okay, if not, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace that you show us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather together as believers and to freely worship you. And we ask now that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for this time and that you would speak to each of us this morning and use what is said and done here this morning to draw us closer to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly, on this first Sunday of the new year, we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and we're glad in it. Joining together, we invite you to sing with us the call to worship, Till the Whole World Knows, singing through twice, followed by hymn number 85, and let us stand together, worshiping the Lord in this call to worship. Till the whole world knows, singing together unto him. Savior, we adore thee, singing together.
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we have our pastoral prayer. If you've been keeping up in the bulletin, you know that Miss Juliet is going to be having some surgery this week, and she has asked that the elders of the church come, and that she come, and that we pray for her. And that's biblical, by the way. It says that if anybody is sick or hurting, they should call together the elders of the church to pray for them. And so we certainly want to honor that request this morning. And so not only as Miss Juliet comes, I'll ask the stewards to come. And there may be others here this morning that also have a special need in their life that they would like this sort of prayer for. And if you would, I would invite you to come to the altar area as well and join us here. Yes, my mother still needs your prayer. Yes.
God, you are such a great and wonderful God, that even the most difficult and hard times of our lives, we know that we can turn to you, that you're never absent, you're never away from us, but you're right there with us, even whether we feel you or not. And this morning, we have paused to fulfill what you've commanded us to do in your scripture, and that is to pray for each other. And specifically this morning, we pray for Ms. Juliet, Mr. Jim, Ms. Felicia. We're asking for your special healing touch to come, because so right now, Lord, we're nothing special as your elders, but you have called us and you placed us in these positions. And so now as we have laid our hands upon them, we pray that our hands are only an extension of yours. And that through our hands that your Holy Spirit would now flow. And as your Holy Spirit now flows, we pray for the power, the healing power of your Spirit to rest upon them. We pray for them to experience a peace that they can't explain it, and Lord, that is beyond the circumstances that they face. We pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your grace that is always sufficient for the day. We especially pray that come this Tuesday that you would guide them, the nurses and the doctors as Miss Juliet has her surgery. We're asking for you to use them as part of your healing touch as well. We believe in you, and we believe in your power. And Lord, as we have gathered together as a church today, we want to uplift all of those in our bulletin. Many needs, many circumstances, and yet you are a God that is greater and bigger than any of all the circumstances that we face in life. Help us not to become discouraged, Lord, but to simply run to your word and allow that word to give us the assurance that when we face these difficult times, that we face them with you. In fact, Lord, you commanded us to follow you. So, Lord, if we're following you, that means that you're leading the way to wherever we need to be. And so right now, again, we pray for your touch and for your power to flow through this moment. We thank you for this act of worship, because it's in worship that we lay our lives open before you. And we're never disappointed when we do that. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. is without guilt or pain. So often abandoned by our transgressions, is such a thing as grace exists, and grace was made for life like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no orphans of God. So many fallen, but hallelujah, there are no orphans of God. Come ye unwanted and find affection. Come all ye weary, come and lay down your head. Come ye unworthy, you are my brother. There's such a thing as grace exists, and grace was made for lives like this. There are no strangers, there are no outcasts, there are no
ushers, if you would come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again stop to thank you for all you've given us, what you've blessed us with, and we ask again that as we give this portion back, that you would take it and that you would use it for your honor, for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name.
invite the congregation again to join in worshiping our Lord and singing hymn number 88, Fairest Lord Jesus. And while singing this particular number, we again will dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining service. Let us stand together, family of God and Fairest Lord Jesus, as we focus on our communion time. Singing together, Fairest Lord Jesus. Church, and you may be seated.
We're going to be reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning, the 16th chapter, and we'll start with verse 13. And for those of you that mark in your Bible, you say, oh, wait a minute, we used this very passage back in March of 2014, and you know what? We did. Because I marked my Bible too, okay? And I did preach from this passage back in March, and in that particular message, the sermon was really on answering the mother of all questions. It was answering the questions of questions. It was the one that Jesus popped the disciples. You remember it. Who do you say that I am? And it was in that great moment. And how powerful that must have been for Peter when all of a sudden it all just came together for him. It was that moment of revelation from the Father. And he jumped up to his feet. I can almost see him shouting, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know, if we don't get that question right, if we don't understand who Jesus is, if we blow that one, then we've messed up all of life altogether. And what happened that day when Jesus put the question to the disciples? It wasn't for Jesus' sake. It wasn't like, wow, ooh, that's good. I'm glad, Peter, that's who I am, because I was thinking that was right, but I wasn't sure. It wasn't for Jesus' sake that he had them answer the question. It was for their sake. Because they had to know who Jesus was, and that does mean everything. It means that we understand who he is. He's Lord, he's Savior, he's sovereign, and we are members of his church. And so today we get to line up just behind Peter and a multitude of others that have come before us, and we get to take our turn at proclaiming who we believe Jesus to be. And I'm telling you this morning, for me, he's Savior, he's Lord, he's King, he's Sovereign, he's Messiah, he's Christ. And if actions, If actions speak louder than words, and I believe they always do, then it's going to be very easy for us and anyone else that's watching us to see if we really believe in who what we say. Because if we do, it changes everything. And once Peter got it, once the disciples got a glimpse of who Jesus was, then listen. We're going to start in verse 13, but listen what happens after Peter proclaims the identity of Jesus. Some really wonderful and powerful thoughts he then shared. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now listen, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this has not been revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Man, there's some powerful thoughts there. And don't miss the most important one. Who does the building? It's not us. Jesus said, "On this rock, I will build my church." And so it's Jesus that does the building. And the building began on the day of Pentecost when that group of believers got together and they're praying and the Holy Spirit came and all of a sudden the church was born. And from the very beginning, they began to do what Jesus had told them to do, and that is go make disciples. See, that is and forever shall be the mission of the church. It doesn't matter what else we do, and it doesn't matter what church we are. If we are not making disciples, if we're not reaching out to people, then we have stepped outside of the will of God for the church. See, we exist to worship and to proclaim the gospel. And then Jesus went on to say, "Upon this church I will build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Wonderful words, aren't they? Indestructible and unstoppable come to my mind. Look, even death can't stop us because Jesus already took care of death. We call that Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And then Jesus continued. He said, "And by the way, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." And he takes them out and he tosses them to them and they catch the keys. And I know there's been a lot of debate over the years about exactly what Jesus meant by those words. In fact, there's been a lot of sharp debate and disagreement about what he meant. But let's not miss the obvious. And the obvious is simply this: nothing can stop us, and he has conveyed upon us, his church, as his body, a powerful, powerful thing. Whatever we bind is bound, and whatever we loose is loose. Those are important words. By the way, keys are power, aren't they? They're power. See, if I've got keys and you don't, guess what? I can keep you out if I want to. In fact, if you want in there, you have to justify to me because I have the keys. You've got to justify to me that you deserve to be in there. Otherwise, I don't let you in. Well, the truth is Jesus stepped up and he gives us the keys to the kingdom not to lock things up. Never to lock people out. If we shut people out, if we push them away for whatever the reason, and we looked at some of those reasons last week that how the church is really pushing people aside. If we push people out, then Jesus has some very harsh words for us. In fact, he said these words to the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, "Woe to you!" And woe is never good, by the way. If you read woe in Scripture, it's not good. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites!" Listen now, You shut up the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. In other words, you slam the door in their face. "You yourselves do not enter in, nor will you let those who are trying to enter in. Woe to you if you do that." And look, if we're not reaching out, we're shutting people out. If we're not focusing on meeting the needs, and their need is Jesus, if we're not focusing on getting them into the presence of Jesus, we're shutting people out. And I've got to tell you, as I thought about this, I realized that I'm guilty of shutting some people out. And it's really not that complicated. I don't know how many times during the course of the year there's boys out there playing on the basketball court, and I sometimes wave at them, but I seldom walk over there and talk to them. What does it take to go share a smile and a hello? Now, I don't know what the Holy Spirit might do. It's kind of like Bill Hybels said, step into the zone of the unknown. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading, and you never know what door he's going to open to you. But if I'm not willing to go out there and simply say hello, man, I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're able to use our facility. I just hope you're having a great day. Then I'm shutting them out because I don't care enough about them to go talk to them. And truly, rather than us putting up signs that you've got to be a member to use our basketball court, and if we're going to keep those signs up, we ought to be willing to go out there and make sure that a member's present by being that member, even if we play or we don't play. Because let's get people to our church, however we get them here. But once they get here, then it is incumbent upon us that we go out and we begin to share the love of Jesus with them. I shut people out when I walk into IGA and I'm oblivious to all the needs and the people that are around me. We shut people out when we just don't care. And if actions speak louder than words, and I believe they always do, then I believe we must get busy unlocking some of the doors of the kingdom. He tossed us the keys not to lock things up, but to open the door to them. We need to unlock to them the forgiveness and the life and the eternity that Christ offers. Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them. And that is, forgiveness is not only for us, but it is for everyone in all places. Ours is to make sure that people, all people, know that the door of forgiveness is open to them. Do I need to do better in 2015 than I did in 2014? I confess to you that I do. Do I want Turbyville Southern Methodist Church to grow? Yes, I do. Because I believe as we grow, that means that people are coming to Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness in life and mission. I believe that as we grow, that means that we're growing in our faith and we're understanding better what it means to be a Christian. Way too many people come to church on Sunday and walk out those doors untouched and unchanged by the moving of the Spirit. And folks, that's not the way God wants it to be. And the truth is, a lot of people come to church on Sunday and they think they're saved and they've never opened their life to Jesus and they're just as lost as anyone else. Let us not be guilty of shutting the doors, but in unlocking those doors and opening and inviting them to Jesus. We have the keys. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to get the job done. And yes, there are some churches out there that they've decided that the risk of growing is too big. The sacrifice required from them is going to be too much. And there are risks, by the way, in deciding that we don't want to reach people for Jesus, but it's not what you might think. Now, churches that don't want to grow, they just don't welcome people. And if you've ever been to any of these churches, you know what I'm talking about. They might have visitors welcome out on the sign, but you walk in, you know you're anything but welcome. Yeah, some of you have been there. Me too. All right? Think about how we greet people that have returned, that have been away from us for a while. Man, we put a big smile on our face and we make a beeline for them. We can't wait to say, oh, man, I'm so glad to see you. It's been so long. You know, that's the way every single person ought to be that comes into these doors if we don't know them. We need to put a smile on our face and make a beeline to let them know how glad we are that the Spirit of God led them to us on this day. So how do we react? Do we think that they simply bring problems to us if we invite them in and incorporate them into our church somehow that they're going, you know, and the truth is people have problems. They sure do, which is all the more reason why they need the love of Jesus, is it not? But rather than focusing on the problems they bring, maybe, just maybe, God has led them here, and that person won't be a problem to us, but they'll be our best friend. Or maybe they've been sent here by God to fill a need that we already have. So let's be open. Not because I say it, but because God is open to whosoever will shall come. I know that growing is painful. I'm old enough to remember an old TV sitcom back in the mid-1980s called Growing Pains. And you know, that's perfectly titled Growing Pains. Because it always brings pain, does it not? Think about your teenage years. The turbulence, the change, everything's upside down, and the pain involved in it. Truth is, there are pains when it comes to growth. But whatever pains we endure will be so offset by the blessings and the joy that God will give to us. You know, I used to think the church in Acts, what church grew better than them? I mean, really. Daily, the Lord added to their numbers. Daily. Man, wouldn't that be great for them? Daily, the Lord added to the numbers of the Turbyville Southern Methodist Church. Wow, good stuff. And I used to think, you know, it must have been better back then. They must not have had the problems. But if you read Acts, they had plenty of problems. They had church members lying. They had church members fussing. They had church members complaining. And so they didn't grow the fact that they didn't have problems, but in spite of the problems, they grew. They grew because they kept their eyes on Jesus and upon his mission. The truth is, some think it's safer not to grow. But the cost of disobedience is always higher than the cost of obeying. And it is in obeying that we show Jesus just how much we love him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He would also say that now that you know these things, you'll be blessed or happy. You'll be blessed if you do them. In other words, if you obey what I tell you to do, and that is go make disciples, you're going to be blessed and happy. In 2015, the question is not should we or can we? That's not the question. The question is will we? Will we choose to reach out? And it's simply more than me telling you that's what we ought to do, even more than me quoting Jesus to you, though that's Jesus did say it. What we need to do is get close enough to our Lord and Savior to realize that, you know what, we do all have souls. And everybody is either going to spend eternity, and you can't put your mind around it because nobody finite truly can, but eternity. Either we're going to spend eternity in the bliss of the presence of Almighty God, or we're going to spend it in utter hopelessness and despair in a place called hell. How much do we care about the fact that people have souls? Will we love God with our heart, mind, and soul? When we do, we can't help but share his love. And by the way, if you want to know about his love, read 1 Corinthians 13. It's not boastful, it's not envious, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it doesn't keep track of wrongs. Ooh, that last one's a hard one. It is patient, it is kind, it is rejoicing, it rejoices in truth, it protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. And then Paul just finally said it. You know what? God's love never fails. The keys of the kingdom have been given to us. And we are to open up those doors and let the love of God flow. A Sunday school teacher was trying to teach her 7-year-old boys about God's love. And so she had the boys gather in a circle in the middle of the room. She had one of them stay out of the circle, but they gathered up and she made them hold hands. Now, little boys don't necessarily like to hold hands, but they were willing to play the game with the teacher because she said they had to. So they're holding hands, and then she took her Bible and she walked over to one end of the room and placed her Bible down, and she said, now that Bible represents the love of God. And if just one of you can touch that Bible, then God's love is going to flow around you hand to hand to each and every one of you. And so, hey, they were only 7 years old, but they figured out if they walked over, even holding hands, one of them could reach down and touch the Bible with their elbow. And they were so proud of themselves. They'd figured out a way that they could all experience the love of God. And then the Sunday school teacher said, but what about Jimmy over here at the back other side of the room? How do you think he feels? He's not experiencing God's love. How can you stay experiencing God's love and get that love to Jimmy? And then she told him, simply make a line instead of a circle. And then you can reach Jimmy. Too many churches are standing together in a circle singing Kumbaya. And that's okay, come this way, Lord Jesus. But too many of churches are standing together, holding hands in a circle, praising God for his love, and we've got little Jimmy over here, and nobody's reaching out to him. God forbid. God forbid that we shut the door, we lock little Jimmy out. Look, someone shared the love of Jesus with you. Someone invited you to church. Someone told you that if you'll open your heart to Jesus, that he would bring life to you. Well, someone needs us to do for them what someone did for us. The risk is not what you think. The risk is if we choose not to be obedient, then we have stepped out of the will of God. So are we willing to unlock the doors of the kingdom? Will we take the keys that Christ has given to us, and will we unlock that door, throw it wide open, and begin to share his love? See, that's in part. It's not the totality, but it is in part what we're saying when we come and take this bread and cup this morning. We're pledging our allegiance to Jesus. And Jesus said, I love you, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And Jesus said, I command you, go make disciples. So as we come and we experience his love, may Jesus begin to expand the horizons of our mind and of our church so that we can figure out better ways to get his love to those on the outside. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we thank you that you've entrusted us with the keys. I don't know why you did and why you do. Because the truth is, Lord, I've been unworthy of those keys at times in my life. And I wonder about the people that I have not shared your love with. Father, may you forgive me. And Lord, as I make myself available to you, may you use me more than I can ever imagine. And use us as a church, Lord, that we will not shut anyone out, but that we will open our hearts and our doors to whosoever. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the stewards to please come at this time to prepare the table. And as they come, I just want to share a few thoughts with you about how we're going to do communion this morning. You guys come and you prepare as I talk. First of all, it's open communion here. You do not have to be a member of our church or even a member of another Southern Methodist church, but you must be a member of God's family. That is incumbent. See, if we're not a member of God's family, if we haven't invited Christ into our lives, we are unworthy, and we are told never come to the table unworthily. Okay? But if you know Christ, if you've experienced his love and his forgiveness, then you're part of the family, and you are invited to come this morning. We do it in groups. We gather around the altar. Most kneel, some cannot kneel, but we gather around the altar in groups, and that group takes the bread and the cup, and then another group comes. And so there are no defined groups this morning. So whenever the Lord moves in your heart to come and be a part of that group, you quickly come. If actions speak louder than words, I'll get that in a second, Herbert. If actions speak louder than words, and I believe they always do, then reflect upon Calvary, reflect upon his action for you. See, that's just how much that Jesus loves us. He sold out for us. And on the front of the table, normally you say, do this in remembrance of me. Remember how much that I love you. Remember that I died on the cross for you. Remember that I'm alive. Remember that I'm coming again. And so when we take the bread and the cup this morning, it represents his body and his blood. And in Christ alone, we are forgiven and we are forever commissioned. We now have the keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I give you the keys to the kingdom. That's how much Jesus believes in us. How wonderful it is to serve him. Before he gave the bread and the cup to the disciples, we are told that he prayed. So let us pray the prayer of consecration this morning, asking God to do that miracle, that somehow in this cracker and in this juice, we will experience the body and the blood of Christ. Lord, this morning we stand before you so unworthy. And Lord, we know that you have loved us. We know that you believe in us. Help us that we might more than we've ever believed before believe in you. Believe in your calling and believe in you that you will work the miracle of your love within us. And so for each person that eats this bread and drinks from this cup, I pray that they will receive your love, they will experience your forgiveness, and they will hear your call to share your love with others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Man, I don't know why Jesus loves us the way that he does, but I know that he does. Take, eat. This is his body. He gave so much that we might be forgiven. Take now, drink from the cup that represents his blood. If our first group would please gather around the altar at this time. You may kneel if you want to, but it is not necessary. Our actions show our love for Jesus. And by coming and gathering at this altar this morning, what you're saying is you know who Jesus is. He is the bread of heaven that brings you life. Hear the voice of Jesus this morning as he says, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." In Matthew's gospel, it says that Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And he said, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." As you drink this cup this morning, know that the blood of Christ washes away all our sins. Arise, go share the love of Jesus with others. Our actions show how much that we love Jesus. And by coming this morning, that action says that you have come to Jesus, sin and all. And in Him and in Christ alone, we are forgiven. Hear the voice of Jesus this morning say, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." From the Gospel of Luke, we read these words, "And likewise the cup after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.' As you drink from the cup this morning, know that the blood of Christ cleanses you once and for all and forever." The blood of Christ. Arise, go share the love of Jesus with others. Our actions show how much that we love Jesus. And by you coming this morning and gathering at the altar, what you're saying is by you, that very act is that you are a part of His church. He is the Lord of your life, and He is the Lord of His church. Hear the voice of Jesus this morning as He says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' Know that the blood of Christ now washes away all your sin." Go share the love of Jesus with others. If actions speak louder than words, and they always do, then your act of coming this morning says that you love Jesus. And by coming and kneeling, you're proclaiming that you know exactly who He is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. From the Gospel of John, it says, "On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and in a loud voice said, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Know that the blood of Christ now washes away your sin.'" Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The blood of Christ. Go share the love of Jesus with others. How we live our lives show how serious we are about saying that we love Jesus. And by coming to this altar this morning, that action says that you understand why Jesus died on Calvary. Because on that cross, he paid the price of your sin. So take, eat, and know that Christ died for you this morning. From the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus took the cup, he gave thanks, and offered it to the disciples, and they all drank from it. You get to drink from his cup this morning because he offers it to you, the blood of Christ. As you go, go share the love of Jesus. By coming and kneeling, that act itself says that you love Jesus with all that you are. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And that is exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. So hear the voice of Jesus this morning as he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which was given for you." Again, the words of Paul said, "Whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Drink the cup and know that Jesus is alive and he's coming for you. Go share the love of Jesus with others. We show Jesus we love him in many different ways. And one of the ways that you've chosen to do that this morning is you've come to his altar and you've knelt before him. And you know that he indeed is the bread of heaven, and that he alone brings you life. Hear the voice of Jesus this morning as he says, take, eat. This is my body, which I have given for you, the body of Christ. Jesus told the disciples, and I believe is now telling us today, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Know that the blood of Christ has washed away all of your sins, past, present, and future. The blood of Christ. Go show your love for Jesus by sharing his love with others. The old hymn says, just as I am, without one plea, we come just as we are. We come with our sins and our failures. We come with our sin and our doubt. And yet, in it all, Jesus said, in me you find life, and you find it abundantly. So hear the voice of Jesus this morning as he says, take, eat, this is my body, which I've given for you. We sing also, there's power in the blood. We sing it because it's true. There is sweet power in the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. So take, drink the cup, and know that his blood has washed away your sins. Go share the love of Jesus with others this week. Has everyone been served? Is there anyone that needs us to bring the emblems of our faith to you? Singing, it's okay. Go ahead and have him stand and sing. Yeah, sure. Sure. You put it in there.
The Bible says that after they had communed, they sang a hymn and went out. Let's just sing several verses of hymn number 185. Number 185, first and last stanzas, followed by the choral benediction. 185, let us stand together. First and last stanzas. Rejoicing in our salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. amplify, O Lord, our conference benediction together. Until we meet again, God bless you, and you are dismissed.